You know, we are in such a season of breaking. You know, I think that here's what's going on at this church. And I was up at 2 o'clock this morning praying. And you know, a lot of times at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, I don't have a sermon. I don't get them from a magazine. I don't get them from the internet. I don't practice them in the mirror. Used to. And I asked the Lord, and he took me to the occasion where he fed 5,000 people. You remember that story? It was more than 5,000 because he was just talking about men. There's women and children. So the number could be endless. But he showed me something in that passage, and he said, this is what's happening at Willing Vessels. I said, how, what? You know, and you know, when you go to the scriptures like that, and the Lord doesn't, he didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but I know what I heard in my spirit, man. So I began reading this, and he says, this is what I do in your life and in the life of the church. So in our life, you know, this Christian walk can be tough sometimes. It can be contradicting sometimes. So I began to look at it, and sometimes you just wake up in the morning and you say, what in the world is going on? You thought I was going to slip, didn't you? I'm prayed through today. Everybody's eyes got real big. But Jesus, when he took the bread, I want you to follow me here. He took the bread. He took you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When he took the bread, 5 loaves, 2 fish, when he took the bread, the Bible says that he blessed it. So when he took you out of darkness, he blessed you. He put his hand upon you. He blessed your life as a child of God, as a born-again believer. Amen. What did he do after he blessed it? He broke it. And that's what he's doing in some of your lives. I know you. We know each other. I know what he's doing. I know what's happening. That's what he's doing in this church. People don't realize that individuals and churches go through the same seasons. So when he takes you and he pulls you into it, that's why when you get born again and you're as high as a kite for days because you have received this so great a salvation, and then the lawnmower breaks down and the car's tore up and you lose your job or your pay gets cut or something like that, right? Who's been there? Or you receive a great blessing or a revival sweeps through the church and then all of a sudden there's a spirit of offense and then everything's just going to shambles. Well, that's called a breaking period. And that's what he's doing. But I began to shout when I kept reading it. You know why? Because after he broke it, he started multiplying it. So he broke it, then he multiplied it. And everybody was fed. And guess what? There was more left over. Aren't you thankful for that? There's always a breaking period, but then after the breaking, always comes the multiplication. Amen. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I love that. So that's where we are. Having said that, Acts 19, who is the Holy Ghost? I ask you that question. Or Holy Spirit. I say Holy Ghost. I'm from the old school. But it's the same thing, all right? I had a guy walk out on me one time because I said Holy Spirit. And he told me that, you know, you got to say Holy Ghost or you lose these Pentecostals. But I may say both of them. I don't know. But it's the same thing. All right. Who is the Holy Ghost? Acts 19. I want to look at verse 1. Folks, I want to see a Pentecostal revival sweep through this church that will shake the foundation of who we are. You understand me? People say, what's your vision? That's my vision. I want to see a Pentecostal revival come through this church. But I've been around long enough to know that before you can see a revival, and revival, you know, isn't just noise and you know, things like that. Revival is when people, men and women, are pointed to the cross. They're pointed to Jesus Christ. They see your enthusiasm. They see your excitement. They see your anointing, all to bring them to Jesus. Amen. But I've been around long enough to know that in order for that kind of revival to take place, you first have to be separated. If you want to be used by God, you have to be separated. I've been told for a few weeks now, Pastor, you've been doing some hard preaching. I think some people have left. Well, what is hard preaching? I ask myself, what is hard preaching? You know, because if I preach this, right? Huh? It's either the truth, and I'm preaching the truth, or I'm a false prophet, and you're running away from error. Which one is it? Which one is it? So I know, no, don't clap yet. Listen, I know that in order for this to take place, and I want to see it, I want to experience it, and I want you to experience it. I want you to experience true Pentecostal revival. That's what I want you to experience. Not the fluff you see on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about a true revival. But before you can see that, you have to be separated and made meet for the Master's use, so he can use you for his glory. That's sanctifying, that's holiness, that's separating yourself from the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? You might have to give up some things. So when you're convicted, don't take it up with me. Take it up with him and his word. Will you please? Amen. Because his word is truth. And I promise you, when you stare into the word of life, he's going to reflect himself to you, and he's going to change you, and he's going to break you, he's going to trim you, and he's going to mold you. Amen. It's like, you get a tea from Bojangles. You know, if you let that thing, I don't even like tea, but if you let that thing sit there, all that stuff just goes to the bottom, right? You got to stir that thing up to get that flavor, to get that life. That's what he's doing here. He's letting you go to the bottom, and he's going to stir you up a little bit, right? Because when you get comfortable, you go to the bottom. When you get comfortable, you tend to lay out. You tend to, sit back and watch TV, and, you get lazy because you're comfortable. And that is the enemy to progress. That's the enemy of moving forward. If a church gets comfortable, look out. It's my job as a pastor to keep you uncomfortable. It's my job to keep you stirred up. Amen. So that all that flavor can come to the top, to stir up those gifts within you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
All right, Acts 19. Look at verse 1. I'm telling you, I feel the gifts of the Spirit in here today. I do. I've got a word for two people already. All right, Acts 19, look at verse 1. And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, these are Christ followers, these are born again believers, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "In what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, this means that they realized that John's baptism brought them to repentance, to accept the risen Savior, and then he explained to them what they have. They have salvation. They have a born-again experience. That's what they have, baptized into Jesus Christ. But he's asking them a question. He's asking, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" But, okay, since you believed. Believed on what? Jesus Christ. Well, you have to have him in order to receive him. Right? You have to have him in order to receive him. This is why I tell you that I believe with all of my heart that a Pentecostal experience is coming to this church. And what I mean by that, I mean people being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm asking the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you've believed on Jesus Christ? And they said, "We don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit." And he begins to explain to them, "You've repented. You've been baptized into Jesus Christ. You have the Spirit who convicted you and brought you to Christ." But then he asked them, "Do you know who the Holy Ghost is?" Let's read. Verse 6, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied." They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. How did they know they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost? This is how they knew. They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. They wasn't declaring the future. They were speaking the wonderful works of God and encouraging each other when they prophesied. But they also spoke with tongues. That was the evidence that they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never experienced this. Maybe you've never experienced the baptism with the Holy Spirit since you've been a Christian. You may have been a believer for 30 plus years. Well, I can tell you right now that there's no better time than today. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And you say, well, what's that going to do for me? Well, number one, it's going to help you know who the Holy Ghost is. That's why I ask you the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And the Bible says we're not to be ignorant, 1 Corinthians 12:1, because he wants us to know what spiritual gifts are. The word declares that we can know the Holy Spirit. John 14:17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, nor does it know him. That's why they say you're crazy when you're a Christian, right? But he says you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be, everybody shout it, he shall be in you. Many here today and many in Christendom don't understand the Trinity. They think the Holy Spirit is an energy, or he's a life force, or he's just the Spirit of Jesus, and he is those things, but he is also a person. Amen. He is a person who you can know. That's who he is. The Bible says he can be grieved. The Bible says that he has emotions. He has a will. And Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. Not himself, another comforter. Come here, Silas. Come here, Joe. Come here, Kevin. I want y'all to help me preach my sermon. Stand right here in front of everybody. These are also your elders. Amen. So you're going to be God. Looks like God, doesn't he? Say God. God. All right. This is Jesus.
Jesus.
Notice I didn't say he looked like Jesus, right? This is the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
All right. God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not just an energy. He's not just a spirit that you feel. He is a person. In fact, in the Greek, when you read in the scriptures, it says he will be with you and he shall. That word he in the Greek is a pronoun in which describing him as a masculine person. A person. Another comforter. Right? So when you're saved, when you get saved, how many remember the day you were born again? Oh, hallelujah. You'll never forget it, will you? He changed your heart. He transformed your life. He regenerated you and made you a new creation. Amen. You'll never forget it. And the disciples, they never forgot it. The day that they met Jesus Christ. So when God was calling you, God, Jehovah God, when God was calling you, the Holy Spirit was telling you, you need him. Say, you need God.
You need God.
I don't want him. And you resist it. You walk away. But the Holy Spirit's the one calling you to him. He's drawing you to Jesus. He's drawing you to Jesus. Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Jesus was a man. Jesus was God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? Jesus today is still a man. He's not a spirit, he is a man. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, that's the man, Christ Jesus. He's still a man, and he's still sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenlies, and he's interceding for you and I. He's standing in the gap for us. He's there right now representing you and I to the Father, God. And he told his disciples, he says, I'm going to be leaving you. And they got upset. And Peter says, you're not leaving me. And he said, get behind me, Satan. He says, but I'm going to send another comforter. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Hallelujah. So when you come to Jesus Christ and you experience salvation, there comes a point in your life where you need another comforter. You meet Jesus. He changes your life. You accept him as Savior. And you walk with him. Tragedy strikes. Things get hard. And you need another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. So Jesus resurrected. He walked this planet for 40 days. And they said, "Don't leave us." And he ascended to heaven. But before he ascended, he says, "I'm going to send the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've been baptized with water unto repentance, but I will baptize you," Acts 1:5, "with the Holy Ghost." Oh, hallelujah. Another comforter. So Jesus ascends to heaven. 10 days later, they're in that upper room wondering what they're going to do. The man that they saw walk on water, the man that they saw feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the man that they saw raise the dead, the man that they saw crowds that no man could number gather around him while he preached, the man that performed miracles, signs, and wonders, the man that spoke to the stormy seas and they calmed at the command of his voice, he's gone. They didn't have the Bible like we have the New Testament. So they're in that upper room praying, and the Bible says they're in one mind, in one accord. They weren't offended at each other. They wasn't, you know, they were there, committed to what God was doing. And then all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. They began to speak with tongues once again and magnified God. That was the evidence, the baptism, the gift of the Holy Ghost had come. So what happened there? God's on his throne. Go sit down. Jesus is at the right hand. Go sit down. What does he do? He sends another comforter. Jesus is gone. They don't know what they're going to do. And then the Spirit of God, take my arm. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God comes. And he locks arms with you. And he says, "I will not leave you comfortless. And you need the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. He says, "I'm going to empower you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to help you do ministry." And from that day forward, Peter, who was a coward, who denied Christ 3 times, turned into another man. I tell people the baptism of the Holy Ghost will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It'll turn you into another man, you see. And they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost and he preached the gospel, and there was a Pentecostal revival. Not only did they speak with tongues, but the Bible says 3,000 people were added to the church in that very day. Because they had another comforter. He is a person. Oh God. He is a person that can be grieved, you see. His feelings get hurt. He's hurt because everywhere you go that you should not go, he goes with you. Amen. Everything you look at that you should not look at, he's looking at it with you, convicting you the whole time. Every time you act and react the way you should not react according to God's word, he's with you and he's grieved by it because he's a person. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and praise him for just a moment. He is God, the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them. But they are being revealed," verse 10. Everybody stops at verse 9. Verse 10 says, "They are being revealed by the Spirit." Because the Spirit searches the deep things of God. That's why Jesus says when you receive the Holy Spirit, he doesn't talk about himself. He speaks only what he hears from the Father. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. But they're all three one, co-equal, co-eternal. Just like you and I. Silas, are you a part of the body of Christ? So am I. Do we have the same personality? And he says, thank God. But we are one in the body of Christ. Amen. We are one. So the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal. Three different operations, three different jobs, three different motivations, but all three point to one thing, and that's the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether he was a man eating with Abraham, whether he was a man encouraging Joshua, whether he was a man walking in the fiery furnace, or whether he was a baby laying in a manger, or a man suspended on the cross, he was the Savior of the world. And a Pentecostal revival points to Jesus Christ and his saving power. I cannot tell you how bad I want to see people and chains broken off of their life. And I know all it takes is an anointing that can destroy every yoke and bring a man or a woman to his knees and say, Jesus, I need you, and receive a mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost. It's a benefit, you see. It empowers you. It helps you. It strengthens you. Oh, you can live without speaking in tongues. You can go to heaven without speaking in tongues. But why in the world would you want anything less than what those disciples experienced? Why would you want anything less than what John the Baptist's disciples experienced when they spoke with tongues and magnified God? I don't want anything less. I want it, you see. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. It would help your prayer life, because the Holy Spirit locks arms with you once again, and he helps you pray. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is more than an abstract thought. He's more than an energy. He's more than an idea. He is a person. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I want you to hear this. But the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. So when Jesus walked the earth, it was God in Christ. Now, you as the body, as the church, it's the Holy Ghost, Christ the Holy Ghost, on the inside of you. Are you following me this morning? So you're operating on his behalf as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe if the Spirit of God could look at us face to face and talk to us like we're talking, I bet he would say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Just like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. But it's Christ the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. He's omnipresent. Do you know what that means? He's everywhere at all times. The Spirit of God is right here, right now. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Do you hear what I just said? If you take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The Holy Spirit is eternal. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. We see the Trinity right there in the first three verses, don't we? In the beginning, God, Elohim, Jehovah God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and without void. That's a perfect picture of you. Before Jesus, you were formless, you were void, you were empty, you were abiding in darkness. And in verse 3, God said, let there be light. But he didn't create the sun, moon, or stars till day 4. So God looked through eternity future, and he saw that his creation would fall. He saw that Adam and Eve, he knew all about it. He wasn't surprised. And he saw you as well. He saw every iniquity, every sin that you would involve yourself in, maybe involved now. He saw every bit of it. And he says, I have to provide an atonement. I have to provide a Savior. That's what I have to do. but he already existed. See? And he says, you know what I'll do? I'll become one of them. Oh, and that's what he did. So when he said, let there be light in this dark void world, he was expressing who he was. He wasn't creating light. He was expressing who he was. And that's why Jesus said in John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. Logos is expression. In the beginning was the expression of God. And the expression was God. And in him was light. And the light was the light of men that divided light from the darkness. And then in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if any man will follow me and walk after me, he will not walk in darkness, but he will walk in the marvelous light of life. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God is what brought life to a dark, destitute, fallen world. I believe he's talking about a fallen world in Genesis 1. The Lord I know doesn't create anything in darkness. He doesn't create anything void and empty. So it became that way somehow. But he's bringing life once again to it. And the Spirit of God is what stirred that life over the water. And it's the same Holy Spirit that stirred your heart and brought you to Jesus Christ. It's the same Holy Spirit right now that will sustain you in your life if you would just receive him by faith. It's the same Holy Ghost that's going to sustain and bring a revival to Willing Vessels Christian Center and stir up the people of God and help you understand and realize who you are to experience a revival like you've never experienced before. Hallelujah. Shout yes.
Yes.
The manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is eternal. He's omnipresent. But to manifest means making visible what is not seen. Now, the Holy Spirit is here, but we don't physically see him until he manifests himself. Well, how does he manifest himself? Tongues, word of knowledge, what you just saw, prophecy, discernment, gifts of healing. That's how he manifests himself. That's how he makes himself known. See? God help me. We always focus on the tongue as being something strange. But I want you to follow me for just a minute. What is the one thing James tells us that man cannot tame? And I give him a big amen to that. You could tame horses. You can control a ship, an aircraft carrier. You can manipulate it. You can control it. You can tell it what to do, and it'll do it. But when it comes to your tongue, James says it's an unruly evil, it's a fire, it's a spark that will start a fire, and you cannot tame it. So when you meet the Holy Ghost, as in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who's walking, wants to walk with you, and you speak with tongues as the evidence of that baptism, he's telling you that he has complete control of your life. Because the one thing you cannot control, he can. Oh, hallelujah. He can. And that's his evidence. See? That's his evidence. And then when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that you are praying mysteries to God. I've been doing it a lot here lately because I don't know what's going on. Buddy, I went to every file cabinet in my arsenal, right? And that's what we do. We go to every other file cabinet, but praying in the Spirit. How many times we prayed in the Spirit together as a board? Not many. Oh, but we've tried everything else. But you see, the mysteries of God are not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. Not from you, for you. Some of you are struggling. You're struggling to get it together. You're struggling to help yourself. But I've got news for you, and this is good news, believe it or not. You can't help yourself. You're in a dry season. You're in a lazy season. What do I need, Pastor? The baptism with the Holy Spirit. Well, I was baptized 20 years ago. Well, you need a fresh infilling. They were baptized in Acts 2, Acts 4. They're in jail. They get filled again. They get filled again. Now, you think about this. Because, you know, I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, you know, it seems like things would be happening. You know, the building would get built. This would happen. And, if you know, but the more I think about that, the more I think the exact opposite. Because I read where Paul and Silas were told to go to Macedonia. He had a vision that told him to go. So he goes on his way. Guess what happens first thing? They get put in jail. So when God tells you to do something and it seems to be falling apart, oh, that's just a sure sign you're probably doing what he wants you to do. So they're put in jail, stocks, hands and feet. And Paul and Silas, I don't read where they said, the Lord told us to do, what are we doing now? Why isn't it working out? Why isn't it happening? Why are we at Macedonia preaching a great revival? Why are we not there? But God's plan is always bigger than our plan. Dear God in heaven, I'm about to lose my mind right now. His plan is always bigger than our plan. I'm trying to contain myself because they were meant to go to that jail cell because there was a jailer there who needed to be saved. So when they go to this jail cell, interrupted, the Holy Spirit put them in that jail cell. The Holy Spirit interrupted their plans. The Holy Spirit interrupted what he told them to do, and it made it look like it wasn't going to happen. But all the while, the Holy Ghost had a plan. So Paul and Silas said, we're not going to get angry. We're not going to get sad. And we're definitely not going to quit what God has called us to do. Let me tell you something. When you quit, you don't quit on me. You don't quit on this church. You quit on God. Don't tell me he's called you here and then quit, because you are quitting on him, not on me and not on people. So they're sitting in that jail cell and they said, let's sing a song. Oh, hallelujah. And I wonder what they sang. I bet they lifted up their voices in praise and they sang unto God. And let me tell you what happened. A Pentecostal revival took place in that jail cell. You see, I always thought that they were busting loose. I always thought that they were praising so they could get out of their situation. But then the Holy Ghost revealed something to me. He says, when they were singing like that, I wasn't breaking them out, but I was breaking in. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Ghost breaks into your situation, chains will fall off of your life. You will be set free. And in the process, men and women will come to Jesus Christ and know him as Savior and Lord. So maybe every interruption, maybe the tent being destroyed was for us to go somewhere to get somebody saved. There's people been born again here, baptized. I've seen them once and that's it. And you know what? It's worth it all. I'd do it again. I'd walk it again. I'd go through it all again. If I knew one person will be standing in the kingdom of heaven because I was obedient unto God. And he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. That means more to me than big numbers. That means more than me than the building. I'm telling you, if it means we have to be here to get somebody born again, I'll stay another 6 years for all I care. All I want to do is be obedient unto God.
All right, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. God, I feel this today. Whew. So we know he manifests. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, I believe, says this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. What is that treasure? The treasure is the Holy Ghost. It's the oil. It's the wine. The analogies, right? That's what we call the Holy Spirit. The living water. But what I want you to get is that he's more than all that. He's a person. So that treasure is manifested and evident when the gifts of the Spirit are operating in your life. Amen. How wonderful would it be for just the Holy Ghost to use you somewhere? You go into Harbor Freight or wherever you hang out at, and you're walking up the aisle looking at wrenches, and they ain't got 3/8, and you say to the employee, "Where's the 3/8 wrenches?" And he said, let me go check. And while he's gone, you get a word of knowledge about that guy. It happened to me before. I didn't post it on Facebook. I didn't call my preacher, but say, "Hey, man, guess what happened?" Nope, first time I've ever talking about it right here. And that's how he wants to operate in your life, see? Amen. How about when that deceived Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door? And instead of you hiding and dunking, he gives you a word of knowledge. Amen. Happened to me. And it was verbatim what happened to them the night before. How can they deny my Jesus then? Not their Jesus, my Jesus. The one I call God. Not a prophet, not a good man, but God. It can happen to you. He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. You could save yourself a lot of hurt in your life if you had the gift of discernment in your life. So when people come around you who don't have good motives and they have slick hair and shiny shoes and they can talk a good game, you discern something about that, it'll save you a lot of heartache. Save the church a lot of heartache too. If you could operate in these gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, what if we operated in that? Amen. This is a Pentecostal church, and it's going to happen. And I will preach like this if I've got nobody sitting in these chairs. I promise I will, because I've committed it to the Lord. Amen. But I believe with all of my heart that in the midst of all the breaking, multiplication is coming. A multiplication in the gifts of the Spirit, a multiplication in fellowship with other churches, a multiplication with opportunity to do ministry, an opportunity to do missions. I'm talking about world missions. Some of you, many of you, are called to the mission field. You hear what I'm saying? You're called to the mission field. You're called to the mission field. You are called to the mission field. Many of you are called to the mission field. Opportunity is coming. It's going to happen for Willing Vessels Christian Center. Are you ready? Are you in feel with the Spirit? But set ministry aside, the manifestation of the Spirit, and now look to your life personally. Hurt, pain, devastation. Folks, let me tell you something. And I tell you all the time, you're either in the middle of a trial, coming out of one, or you're heading into one. It's one or the other. And if you're comfortable and things are going great and your life seems like it's on the plan, people say, "What's your 5-year plan, Pastor?" I say, "I don't have a 5-minute plan, much less 5 years. He'll shake your plans up tomorrow. But when tragedy hits your life, and it will, keep living, when you get that doctor's report, when you get that unexpected tax bill or that unexpected job cut, you think they're going to give you a couple of years to find something? No. You think corporate America is worried about your future? When that happens, you will have a comforter, a helper, who could help you pray, comfort you during that time, and help you. And folks, let me tell you something. Having a church family like this is so vital to your health. It's so vital to your mental health, your physical health. It's so vital for your children. Because when you have a church, people say, "I don't need church to go to heaven. We are the church." I say, "No, you don't need a boat to get to Europe either. Just jump in the water and start swimming. But there's a lot of sharks along the way." I'd rather be on the boat. I'd rather have a church family. Amen. I can count on, rely upon. Amen. That's who you are to me, and that's who I want to be to you. Amen. There's a great anointing coming. There's an awakening coming right here to Willing Vessels Christian Center that's going to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll leave you with this. Luke 11:13 says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more? Well, let me backtrack. Matthew 7:11 says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to us who ask him? Now, fast forward to Luke 11:13. He says the same thing, only he says it this way. He says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will he give us the Holy Ghost if we ask him? I love that. The gift of the Holy Ghost. It belongs to you. In my life, growing up, I was 9 years old. I heard this pastor who I heard is not doing very well. He's got brain tumors now. I saw this pastor. And you know, a lot of the preachers that I listen to personally, most of them are dead. I said, well, why do you want to listen to a dead man? Well, I'd rather listen to a live dead man than a dead live man. I promise you that. Anyway, I'm not, what was I talking? Oh yeah. So this pastor, he's not doing well. Still pastoring. He's still called the pastor of his church in Virginia. But I heard this man preach. I can't tell you what he preached on. All I know is he got red-faced and he squalled, and I loved it. And I went home that night, knelt down by a bedside, and I told my family I wanted to be saved. Wasn't too much longer after that, I was at a Church of God youth camp in Asheville, North Carolina. A lot of teenagers there who were part of the Church of God. We were in the altar worshiping, and I received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. A few months later, I was preaching my first sermon. I haven't stopped. Oh, there's been some hiccups. I've been ignorant and dumb and rebellious, but he never left me. He never left me. I could never get him out of my mind. Never. I would listen, and I've told you the story about sitting on a bar stool, somebody looking at me saying, I had a dream you were preaching. Never met the guy in my life. I had to run out of that place. I couldn't get away from him. God help me today. And neither can you. Neither can your children. When you get them in an atmosphere like this, it will stick with them forever. I'm talking about Holy Ghost, energized, power-packed, Word of the Lord will stick with them the rest of their lives. Wasn't too long ago I was preaching the gospel, and the Lord has opened up many doors for me. I'm not going to go through my life story, but he's brought me to a place now where I know in my spirit man what's about to happen. I just know. I know what's about to happen with this church, and I know what's about to happen with you. What hurts me as a pastor is that I see the enemy creeping into the hearts of men and destroying them. And I don't have any control over that. Because at the end of the day, you have free will. At the end of the day, you make a choice. And I'm telling you, he will plant seeds in your head and in your heart. I'm telling you. Don't let him do it. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.